Welcome to the Revenue Marketing Report powered by CaliberMind. I'm your host, Kamala Thompson, and today I am joined by Eric Westerkamp. Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Eric Westerkamp. I'm the CEO here at CaliberMind. I've been in this position for about 4 years, helping CaliberMind kind of scale from kind of pre-seed all the way through our A round. A couple of previous roles, but had roles as software development, all the way through product management, channel sales, and sort of running sales organizations and sales teams for tech companies. So I've been in the tech space longer than I would like to admit, 25 plus years. We'll kind of go with that. Outside of this, I do things like rock climbing. I love to ski, and I live in just right outside of Boulder, Colorado.
So thank you for being an advocate for the show, first of all. Second of all, the reason why I brought you here, there were several reasons, but one of which is talking about how you encouraged your team to think about generative AI when it first came out and how they could incorporate it into their work streams.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We when generative AI first started to show up, we took a hard look at it. And because of the nature of some of the products we do at CaliberMind, we have a pretty close relationship with Google and some of the things that they're doing over there. We get access to some kind of early releases of technology. So we've been taking a really hard look at it. And we found some very interesting things with generative AI. We were looking at it kind of from two angles. One is, how well does it work for sort of like summarizing data and taking information and allowing people to kind of get digested? And the other was, you know, kind of core to what we do, how well does it do with analyzing data and taking information and kind of running analytics on it? And we found a pretty significant gap between those two use cases. So when it comes to analytics and being able to take the data and really kind of, you know, to some extent run math, we found that the models really did not hold up. You had to get so specific in like giving it information. You know, I want you to run, here's a table, here's some data, run a standard deviation on it. Sometimes it would get it, sometimes it wouldn't. Often it would just say like, I don't understand your question. And that's even using some of the analytics modules. So we kind of backed away from that. What we found though, was that summarizing data, summarizing information, it was actually very, very good at. So we did a couple of things. Internally, we ran a hackathon. And in that hackathon, we went out to the whole company and we said, hey, come up with great use cases for how you would use generative AI inside of CaliberMind and kind of bring those back, either for our customers, you know, inside of the product, or even internally, how would we optimize things? And we found a couple of really neat kind of use cases internally. On the sort of software development side, this probably isn't news to anyone, but we found that we're often looking at configuration that's sitting in SQL files or how our business rules are developed inside of our pipelines. And often different teams need to kind of look at that data. We found that it was actually very easy for these generative AI models to take a look at that and say, give me a summary of what's really going on here. So for instance, we have a big customer, we've maybe written some custom code to kind of really help modify their data. It gets pushed to another person in our data analytics team. They need to understand what's going on there. So they would actually just take that, drop it, and say, summarize what's happening in here and give me the key points. Does a great job there. Another area that we found that it was really helpful with was taking information like large buyer journeys, right? If you think about, you know, different customers that are moving through your buying process, they have lots of different touch points across different marketing campaigns, sales teams, all of that. Often products like what we do and other products out there, they'll put all that data on this timeline. But the challenge is that, you know, a person needs to then kind of look at the timeline, look at different individuals, see what's going on, and try to kind of extract out the meaning of all of these different touch points. We actually took some of those, dropped it right into generative AI, gave it some context. This is the company you're looking at. Here's some information about the company. Here's some of the things we've done. And just gave it the raw, you know, kind of event timelines and said, tell us what's going on. Summarize this for a salesperson. Summarize it for a marketer who's trying to target those organizations. And it actually did a relatively good job of that. It summarized data, told you which individuals that it saw across the timeline were most engaged, what they were doing, what they were responding to. And then when you gave it sort of the persona of a marketer versus a salesperson, for instance, it was able to kind of parse out and say, here's maybe some tactics that have been working with this customer that you want to go. Here's some people in the organization that that maybe you want to target with these different processes and these different campaigns. So it did a pretty good job there.
I think that's really interesting. I always saw it as having a lot of potential in two areas. One is the one you just described. It's really handy in pointing out things that I may miss. And as an analyst, my value usually was pointing out these things. I'm not worried about it taking over quite yet because it doesn't quite tell you what to do next, although you had a really great point about what these people were doing with your campaign and pointing those things out. The other area I was really interested in is unstructured data. So freeform text, trying to figure out some kind of pattern in that. Have you all explored that at all?
Yeah, a little bit. One of the things that we've been looking at is, again, in our marketing data warehouse that we have for customers, we'll often have a lot of information about what's kind of going on. We may have the campaigns and campaign information and data, but often we have emails. We have like all the text that's going on in emails. So we've started to experiment with like looking back through here and saying like, okay, you've got your whole BDR team that are doing outbound, right? So first, which ones are having successes in responses, right? And then what is it about those outbound emails, their outbound texts that's actually maybe a common between these different, or how do I take these 12 successful outbound campaigns and summarize them into what's going on and maybe create some new campaigns and all that? I think it's really early days for some of that. But we're starting to see that you can get some decent results out of that. And it can kind of go through these kind of large sets of unstructured data and say, please help me understand the commonality between these. Right. So I've got, hundreds and hundreds of emails that went out, maybe thousands of emails, but maybe only, 15 or 20 different email campaigns. This rep and this rep and this rep had very high success rates in getting responses. Maybe help us understand the differences between this batch and this batch. If I needed to write a new email, write it using these as, kind of templates, things like that.
So for the marketers wondering, what does this have to do with marketing? Let's talk a little bit. So the reason why I nudged about unstructured data is I'm thinking of Gong and all of these call recording tools and all of this language, this rich language that we could tap into potentially and figure out dispositions, competitors, keywords. There's just so much potential there. And then, in terms of what you were describing initially, summarizing report results, tell me a little bit about what you see with your customers.
First off, I'll say that most of our customers, they're hyper interested in like what's going on and how they take advantage of it. The use cases are just emerging, right? And the challenge you get with generative AI is that it tends to be very, I'll call it spiky. Hey, it really gives us some great results now, and now it's giving us no results, and now it's giving us some great results, and now I get something that I'm not even sure what that is, right? And so it's tough to operationalize at this point because of that. And then the technology is moving so fast. Like ChatGPT, has ChatGPT 4 out there now talking about 5, and it's moving so fast. A lot of people are just waiting until the next version because that's supposed to be so much better, right? So how are marketers taking advantage of it? Again, I think that they're using it to take information, contents, and campaigns that they're seeing are working and create new versions of it that kind of embody some of the characteristics of these. So they feed in, like, I had this campaign, I had these, I set, all these email out, products that basically send out, all your emails and things like that for the sales teams. They'll say, here's the 20 emails I sent out. This is what's working, right? Maybe here's some campaign or a piece of content that we wrote that's resonating. Okay, I want to write a new piece. I want to give you the 5 or 6 bullets I want to write about. Here's some samples of content that we liked. Help me rewrite this using sort of this tone and the things that were successful over here. We're starting to see people experiment with a lot of that. The key from my perspective is the measurement. So you've got to really figure out like what of these things are actually working. Like, so how do you know that if I rewrote this thing using ChatGPT 4 or Google or something like that, Bard, if it's working or not working? Right. And I think the feedback loop that I think where people are starting to get, aim at is if I can take generative AI, I can measure its success, I can then feed the stuff that's working back into it to create new content. That's the feedback loop that you want to be able to build. But it requires combinations of generative AI plus measurement tools, whether it's attribution or engagement scoring or something like that. You need to be able to measure success, because otherwise you don't know which pieces to kind of double down on and which pieces you need to be able to tell these systems this worked or this didn't work, right? To
Yeah.
get more content out of it.
And if you really know a topic and ask ChatGPT about it, you may get the right answer, but you may get stuff that's all over the place. So
Yeah.
having that feedback mechanism is really important, and telling it what doesn't work and what does work in the same
Yeah.
chat is really, I think
Really
people
important.
underestimate how much information it needs to really work well.
Yeah. It
And
really
that's the
does.
same with machine learning, right? So it takes quite a bit of data to be able to train it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of marketing teams out there that probably have enough data because we're collecting so much. But what are some recent developments your team's seen in the machine learning space?
You know, it's again, it's super interesting in that there's so much hyper focus on generative AI and what it's doing, right? That you don't hear people talking about sort of standard machine learning algorithms. And I'll be honest, my opinion is that the majority of the value you can get at this point in time is based on it's sort of standard machine regression analysis. Standard deviations across your engagement score, things like that. There's so much that you can do with that. Marketing teams are so, to be blunt, are so far behind a lot of other industries in taking their data and even applying these standard algorithms to it. There's so much value they can get out of just doing that, right? Even before they jump into how do I leverage generative AI? How do I use these large models and things like that. What they re you know first it's measure what's working, what's not working. So advances we're seeing is that we're seeing that it's becoming easier and easier to everybody has an API, so it's becoming easier and easier to acquire data, right? So it's any product I go use now, I'm using Gong, I can get the data out of Gong. I'm using Apollo for emails or outreach or something like that. I'm using, one of the marketing automation platforms. There's so much data I can get. But the challenge is that you have all this data. It's very distributed. It's really, they're all in different formats. They're coming in different ways. You have to stitch it all together. And it comes back to that. Now, if I can get that data into a timeline or some consolidated set of information, now I can apply the machine learning to it because the data's been normalized. Right. The machine learning algorithms really need data that's shaped in a way that's consistent. And so you need to take the data from all these platforms and shape it in a way that I can then feed it into machine learning. Right. And then try to create really interesting results. Some really cool things that we're seeing out there. Again, we work pretty closely with Google. Google has released a whole new framework called BigQuery ML. And BigQuery ML is effectively SQL that you can write, and you can embed machine learning training and everything right inside the SQL. So we have some of our more advanced customers are actually using this on top of our platform right now, where they can then take a common set of data and start experimenting. We have customers that are saying, like, please tell me the, I want to go look at all these leads and figure out which of them are most likely to convert to MQLs and SQLs using a large feature set, right? To do that, think about it. If I've got those leads and they're coming in from, 20 different sources with different data sets, I need to normalize that data to feed it into that algorithm. But it's becoming much easier with these frameworks to then take that data when you have it, feed it in, train it, and come up with some very interesting results. Then the next question is, what do I do about it? How do I action on that data? Hey, now I've got these leads that I think are really good. What do I do with that data? Do I send it to marketing? How do I operationalize it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of marketing leaders struggle with prioritizing data projects
Yeah.
because you're under so much pressure to build pipeline now. If you can put the money in that direction, it's really hard to rationalize making a long-term investment that you won't see pay off until, maybe after your tenure's over. I don't know. So, but the benefit of that is huge in that, like you said, you can actually see what's working and what isn't, and it's just, as opposed to just throwing things against the wall and moving to the next thing you're going to throw against the wall.
I think we read I read a interesting article. I think it was from Bain & Company. They say something like that, that the marketing teams that leverage and have good control of their data, outperform their other teams by like 40 or 50%, something like that. Like they're getting just significantly better results. But getting there, I mean, it's challenging. Data's messy. You've got to put processes and systems in place to kind of really get there. But once you do, the outcomes are much, much stronger for those teams.
That's a great segue into our next topic. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about ICP analysis and how machine learning can help remove some of those biases. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Revenue Marketing Report. Please tell two friends, subscribe, download, whatever you can helps. And for those of you looking for more great content like this, check out CaliberMind.com.